We have an interview with Bill Palmer.
Are you kidding?
No, and we've also got a contest today.
Hey, what are you doing for the future?
It's My Mac Podcast 81.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And as we said at the beginning of the show, this is show number 80.
And I'm 81.
Is it 81?
It's 81. And I'm Chad Perry, keeping the count.
That's right. Only one of us can count, and it's not Tim. Notice I'm wearing a new shirt today?
Yeah, I see that, MyMac.com.
That's right, and it says, what's it say on the back?
It does Windows 2.
It does Windows 2, and of course that's totally appropriate for those of you who have an Intel Mac. You can do Windows 2. I don't have an Intel Mac.
Yeah, I don't either, so I can't do Windows.
Yeah. No. We got a special guest coming on today, and that's Bill Palmer.
Yep.
He's got some cool news. Uh-oh, big machinery driving by. Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, sorry about that. They're doing a little road construction in our area, so...
It happens. That's what our tax money goes to build new roads, and hey, we might as well get new roads in our area as well, right?
Yeah, because why pay for new roads for other guys when it's my
money? That's right, it's my money. Yeah. I want my $3 to go right here. we do have a contest this week, and we'll get into more of that later in the show. It's going to be a really cool prize, something that we haven't given away before.
And you'll like it. Everyone can use it.
Everybody would like it very much. I've got something very similar that I reviewed and found it fantastic. But we've got Bill coming up in about 15 minutes in real time, so we need to jump into the news.
Yep.
May 10th, Apple simplifies the .Mac web access.
Apple has made accessing a public folder on .Mac much easier. We're pleased to announce a new, simpler way to access iDisk public folders with a browser. Simply enter the URL iDisk.Mac.com. Member name public now produces a page that automatically includes download links for whatever's currently in the member name's public folder.
All you need to do is give your URL for your iDisk public folder to the friends and colleagues you share with. They'll be able to see and be able to download whatever you put in there whenever they visit the page. So in other words, I could put a link somewhere on MyMac.com that if you clicked it, you'll see my public folder on .Mac.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad Apple did that. That's the kind of functionality you expect from Apple.
Right.
And up to this point, to send someone to my public folder, I had to have them go to, you know, be in the Finder, go up to Go, go down to iDisk, and then other iDisk, other user's iDisk, or other user's public folder. Then they had to type in that name, and then it would load on their desktop. That's not the most simplest way.
They should be able to see your Windows friends.
Right. Yeah. You know, you can email the link to somebody. Here, just go here and you'll see that file and boom, it's done with. The next story.
This is, France could offer loophole for iTunes.
This is from May 9th.
Yep. According to a report from the Associated Press, Apple could negotiate new deals with record labels and artists to sidestep French government plans to open its exclusive iTunes music download format to rivals under a draft Senate amendment could be voted on this week. The report goes on to say,
the amendment proposed by the Senate Cultural Affairs Committee softens the terms of a government-backed copyright bill Apple criticized as state-sponsored piracy after its first reading in March by lawmakers in France's lower house. I gotta wonder, I gotta figure there's something going on behind the scenes that is opening this up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably get more of that story as time goes on. Next story from May 9th.
Fox TV shows now on iTunes.
Another TV network has added to the roster of iTunes. News Corp's Fox's network struck a deal to provide 24 and Prison Break, as well as FX network shows such as The Shield, which I've heard is really good, for U.S. For $1.99 per episode, reports Reuters. iTunes has also started to sell episodes of older series such as Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Lost in Space, notes the story. Was Fox even around when Lost in Space was on television?
Somehow I don't think they carried that. No.
I don't think so either.
They may own the rights to it, but they certainly didn't produce
it. And I believe Buffy the Vampire Slayer was... I know there. I see that on FX, but was that an FX show? Because that was on the WB or something like that. It was canceled on one network in like season 4 or something, and they literally killed her off.
Yeah.
Then they got a deal with another network to bring the show back, so then they had a resurrector. I never watched it, but I remember...
I think they went into syndication is what happened.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I never watched Buffy. I like Josh Wheaton as a creator. I think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love Firefly, and what he's doing with Astonishing X-Men in the publishing world is fantastic, but I never watched Buffy.
I never watched a single episode either.
And I'm not spending $2 for it either.
Okay. Next, from May 8th, iPod Garage changes its name to iProng today.
The iPod Garage website has officially changed its name to iProg today, along with a giveaway.
After more than 2 years of operation, iPodsGarage.com has changed its name to iProng today in order to reflect the fact that the iPod universe now centers around more than just the iPod itself. The name change is reflective of the fact that the iPod universe is now multi-pronged, equally comprised of the iPod, iTunes, podcasting, music, video, and more. To commemorate the name change, iProng is giving away an iPod Nano and other prizes.
iProng. I like that name.
We'll have to talk to the guy who...
Who is that again? Oh, yeah!
Bill Palmer!
So we'll have Bill on in just a few minutes. Unless he forgot and he's not in Skype. And
we'll poke him with an iProng then.
That's right. let's see. You know what got me? I think it's a pretty good name, but I was reading this on the iProng website in another comments. It's I-P-R-O-N-G. IP-Wrong. I thought that was pretty clever.
Oh,
that makes it, hey, you know, if people can find the initials and something to make it funny, that means it's memorable.
Yep.
And really, you want a memorable name for a website. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, website names really don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. I mean, what's eBay? What the heck is an eBay?
Unless you can remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon. What's that got to do with selling books originally?
Nothing.
It's either a very tall woman or it's a big river, right?
Yep.
So what's that got to do with selling books? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the name of something really makes a difference. Engadget.
Google.
Dig.
Yahoo!
Yahoo! That's probably the worst. And then some that had just a perfect name for what their business was, pets.com. Where are they? Wah, wah. It doesn't make a difference. It's all in the business plan and the execution. It's not in the name. The name is important up to the, you know, you want it to be memorable.
Yeah.
But the name itself isn't going to lend itself to be memorable.
Right.
It's what you do with it. So... Hey, iProng, welcome.
Yep.
November. Wow. Yeah, I either went way forward or way back. May 8th, Apple Computer wins Apple Corp's lawsuit. Apple Computer has won the lawsuit filed by Apple Corp's of the Beatles fame, reports Reuters. Apple Corp originally filed a lawsuit saying that Apple Computer violated a 1991 trademark agreement by getting into the music business.
Apple Computer argued in court hearings in London earlier this year that iTunes was primarily a data transmission service, which is permitted by the agreement, notes the story. The 1991 out-of-court settlement, which included a $26 million payment by Apple Computer, set out areas in which each party would have exclusive use of their respective fruit-shaped logos. I find no breach of the trademark agreement has been demonstrated, Mr. Justice Mann said in his arguments. Or in his judgment, the action therefore fails.
We're glad to put this disagreement behind us, said Steve Jobs. We have always loved the Beatles, and hopefully we can work together to get them into the iTunes music store. Apple Corp has said that no decision has been made as to when the Beatles songs might be available for purchase online, notes Reuters. In addition, Apple Corp said it would appeal the decision, and Apple Computer was awarded court costs. They were awarded court costs. And that's important because in many, many other countries, if you take someone to court, you initiate it, and you lose, you have to pay their court fees.
Yep.
That's not the case in America. That's why we kind of have a massive problem in this country with everybody can sue everybody, and there's no... I could sue you tomorrow.
Appealing. Yep.
And if I lose, well, too bad. I just lost.
Yeah.
And any legal bills that you incur because I sued you, even if it's frivolous, mm-hmm. you don't get to recover. You could sue me to recover them, but then yet there's another.
Yeah.
And that includes more court costs on your part.
Yep.
So that's something that I think that would work well here in America. You're going to sue somebody, like you better have a case. No more frivolous lawsuits.
May 4th. Apple posts Logic Express update 7.1.2.
So if you guys are a user of Logic Express or Aperture,
yep,
that was updated on May 4th as well. So that's our news. We're going to take a break and we're going to look for Bill Palmer online and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Adam from Madtown Aces Audio Productions at madtownaces.com. If you're a podcaster or even thinking about starting your own podcast, you need to contact me. Madtown Aces provides professionally produced podcast show elements. Things like show opens, IDs, bumpers, and sweepers. It lets people know you mean business with your podcast. You want your podcast to sound the best. Do you want to do interviews on your podcast? Well, check out our new service. It's Remote Podcast Interview Recording. Just want to record and don't want to hassle with that RSS feed and all that? We do that too. We'll manage your podcast. You just record, send it over to us. We manage everything else. All the details are on our website at madtownaces.com. Go over there and check us out. Thanks for your time. And remember, at Madtown Aces Audio Productions, we don't make podcasts. We make podcasts sound better.
And we're here with Bill Palmer. Bill Palmer is the founder of LoadPod, BillPalmer.net, and now iProng. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing well, but we didn't have to change our URL. What the heck is going on? What's a prong?
Well, I gotta tell you, I know there's been some talk about this. The rumors are true. The name of BillPalmer.net has been changed to BiffParker.net. I spell that for you. It's B-I-F-F. There are rumors that my father, Bill Palmer Sr., forced me to change it for legal reasons. I swear to you, it's not true. We're just looking for a new image. Biff Parker was a porn star back in the 80s, and that's just the image I'm looking to project for myself. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I was thinking Biff Palmer, maybe that was somebody that was in the Back to the Future movies or something.
maybe the porn version of Back to the Future. I'll have to look that one up in my collection.
And, of course, Load Pod is being changed to Mr. Load, so.
Or Load Pants,
actually. Load that. That's exactly where I was going with that. Chad and I were talking about, we actually read your press release that was posted at MacMinute.com about the name change. And we talked about it a little bit, but I made the point that, you know what, it really doesn't make a difference what the name is. It matters what you do with it. eBay doesn't mean anything. Amazon is a tall woman or a river. So it really depends on what you're going to do with the site. So what are your plans with the site?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you said it doesn't matter the name. I had actually come to the conclusion that it really does. And I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that it took me a couple years to realize this, but for the past 2.5 years, we've sort of just been feeding the machine or feeding the identity of the iPod. And I realized we've never stopped to try to feed our own identity. And, you know, I really wish I could go back in a time machine and give the site a name back from day one that was something that gave us our own identity and not just, oh, you know, there are people out there to this day, never mind that we do, you know, 15 million product reviews a day or whatever, you know, there's still people who think of us as nothing but a cheerleader site because we got the word iPod in our name. I know it's kind of risky, you know, ballsy, maybe you'd say, you know, at the height of our popularity, say, okay, we're changing our name to something completely different. But, you know, it felt like it was smarter to go back and correct the mistake at this point than to just, you know, try to keep going with it.
Do you actually still own that URL? Did you have to, is that no longer, is it just gone? Or is
what,
it going to
point to iPodGarage.com?
Yeah, is that just going to point to the new site, or?
Yeah, that's going to point to it forever. Actually, I mean, I've got the registration for the 9.5 years. So, and at some point we'll make it so that when you go to iPodGarage.com, it'll automatically change in the menu bar to iProng.com. But any link you click on or anything you type in will work forever. I mean, that's why we're not really worried about the change, because we're not going to lose anybody. People who knew how to find us before, they're still going to find us the same way.
Now, when it comes to your back content, do you have to go back and relink everything, or are you just not even going to worry about that right now?
Fortunately, because we've got a webmaster who's smarter than I am, everything, all of our internal links are just built on, you know, slash whatever. So things pretty much just still point to themselves, which was a big relief. Really, all we had to change was some graphics and logos.
A lot of people probably notice, at least the ones listening to this show, that Bill Palmer has been posting blogs at mymac.com.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I have no idea what you were thinking. They're handing me the car keys
on that one. He's lying, Chad. He's hacked our site.
He has.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to delete his post. I don't know how he got in there.
Until you wake up next week and mymac.com is auto-directing to iPhone.com.
As long
as you'll rule the day you cross me.
You'll rule the day, damn it. You know, I have a new URL myself, and I can't give it away yet because I'm having registration problems. Stinking GoDaddy and kiss my... Anyways.
Why don't you tell me what it is off the air so I can go and steal it from you?
Yeah, you'd be able to, too.
You could sue me. It would be great.
I was thinking a website, and I guarantee you somebody will go do this. What if you got together a whole bunch of Mac writers, right? That already write for other sites. And you get them to post their stuff on this other site, but they can put in their own Google ad links in their posts. Mm. So if anybody follows their links, they get paid.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Bill? Am I a genius or an idiot? Wait, let's go off the air first.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a way to discourage you from doing it while I deviously set up my own copycat site.
I think, you know, everybody wants to get paid. Well, not everybody. Just, you know, the money-hungry people, like us. And if there was a site that I can go and post mymac.com content that would not only just point back to mymac.com, where the original article is, but keywords within my article that would be Google posts or Google AdSense stuff. And it had listings for everybody up there. That would be, I think that would be easy money for the writers.
Yeah.
And there would be no maintenance fees as far as a webmaster. You just set the site up and give people permission to post.
Mm.
It would be a dig for cash, but with an Apple twist. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just making it up as I go.
Hey, why not? That's what I usually do.
Works for us. So what else is going on in your life? What do you think about the brand new iBook that was released today? Oh, wait, that wasn't released today, was it?
There was
it?
An iBook. Oh, you had me going there for a second.
Damn rumors! We hate the rumors! Thanks, Secret! Thanks, Secret, you suck!
I think Apple sees that sometimes, and they say, you know, we're just going to push it back 3 days just to screw with everybody.
Just to make these rumor sites look stupid. I think it's, you know what? I'm so tired of rumors. Everybody is emailing me lately. I thought the new iPod was coming out this week. When's the new iPod coming out, Tim? Like I'm supposed to know or something. And well, I read a Think Secret. Stop reading that crap. Just stop it.
It's like, what was they sold out of National Enquirer? You had to read rumor sites instead?
You know, rumors don't do anybody any good. They really don't. I mean, if you look at the track record of all the rumor sites, yes, they get some of it right. But the things that they... But how many of them got it right that Apple was switching to Intel?
No.
How many of them got it right that Boot Camp was going to be released? They didn't know.
Yeah. Right. It's like Nostradamus. They make these generic predictions so it can prove true no matter what.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Apple changed the specs at the last minute since our last post, so that's why it's not accurate. Yeah, right.
We have a new iBook. It's going to be between 12 and 16-inch screen. We're sure of this. Yeah. I'm sure of it, too, but I'm not smart enough to start a rumor site.
Yeah, it boggles my mind that so many people put faith in the rumor sites, and time after time after time, they're proven incorrect, and yet people still go back and, well, what's the latest Apple rumor? Oh, look, Apple's breaking up the Aperture team. They're gonna drop Aperture completely. Oh, by the way, it's been updated, and they're not dropping it.
No.
It's the same thing over and over and over again.
The funny thing is 99% of the people writing this Aperture stuff don't even know what Aperture does.
No, you're right.
I'm not sure I know what it does, but, you know.
When you say writing this Aperture stuff, you mean the people writing the articles or the people actually coding the program?
No, well, maybe that too, but if you want to get into it. But no, the people writing the rumors, you know, it's like, stick to a product you actually use, I guess. I don't know.
Well, there's only so many things that you can write about rumors in porn sites, isn't there? I mean, I would imagine that these people that make up these rumors are degenerates to begin with, so they're the purveyors of all the porn sites out there.
Yeah, that'll get us some email.
Which is why I've started BiffParker.net. It's the whole plan.
Did you notice that I had that little segue right there for you?
Yeah, thanks for setting me up for talk about self-promotion.
You know what? I'm going to go check right now and see if there's a BiffParker.net. Did you already check to see if there is?
No, but I'd better go register before this broadcast or someone will cyber squad on
it. BiffParker.net does not exist.
Send them a cease and desist letter.
BiffParker. Does not exist.
I guess. I'm just making this up as I go along.
Yeah, but you need
there
to
really
register
There really was a
porn
star, though. I Googled it and it came up to that and I thought, well, it's, you know.
We'll run with that one, then.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably going to be like this huge site a year from now. It'll be like, I don't know where the hell this Biff Parker thing came from. It's huge nowadays online.
It's bigger than MySpace.
And if you listen real carefully, you'll hear a Spicoli sound of a shoe hitting a head. And that will be Bill. Dunk, dunk, dunk. See, now only older listeners will get that one. Because you got to kind of go back to the 80s to get the reference of the movie, but... Bill got it. That's all that matters. So what do you think the big Apple news is coming on right now? What's the big thing in your life when it comes to Apple?
Maybe not in my life. I think the biggest Apple news right now is the new ads, which I love, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we've checked them all out. I think they're fantastic myself. I mean, they're not too in your face, but they're just enough to let you know.
Isn't it time that we start spoofing them, though?
Already?
Yeah, don't you think? People need to come up with a spoof of these commercials. I think Bill would be perfect for it myself, but he's just
so busy. Which of the two characters am I supposed to play, the Mac or the PC?
I think we go a totally different route.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's something like, hi, I'm OS2, and I'm Linux, you know? Something like that, something along those lines. And just play with it. It'd really hack people off. Or turn it around and make it like, you know, the Mac is like a super hippie.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just so annoying. He's just such a hipster doofus type of character. And the PC is actually this really strong guy. Wouldn't that really make Mac users mad?
I'd like to see one with two kids, and one's a Mac and one's an iPod, and the Mac one has psychological issues because the iPod's getting all the attention. Might be a little too close to home, I don't know.
What do you think of Boot Camp?
I love it and I hate it at the same time.
What the hell is that?
You don't want to know. I've got so many electronic gadgets here and in this room. I'm afraid something's going to blow up. But no, I hate the idea of people using Windows on the Mac. I love the idea of the fact that a lot of PC users are going to buy a Mac because now they know they've got Windows on there as like a fallback, and then they're never going to use Windows anyway. They're never even going to buy it because people are cheap, especially PC users, and they're not going to go spend $160-something or whatever XP costs. And so they're just going to end up using the Mac part, and I think it's going to bring in a lot of users, and Apple's kind of cheating, and it's pretty cool.
It's a cell phone.
It's a cell phone.
or a 1981 vintage Frogger handheld game.
Why is it that the top shelf cell phones these days sound like a 1981 Frogger game?
They do. They all do. They all suck. And I'm not happy with my cell phone anyways. I feel like I got robbed. I just found out that it has Bluetooth, but I can't sync it to computers. It has a camera phone, and you can't take the pictures off of the camera or off of the telephone. You can't get it to your computer. Like, what the hell is the point in having a camera phone if I can't take the pictures off of it?
Well, for an extra $50, you could have got the model that did all that for you.
Ugh, I tell you.
Or they want you to email the photos from the camera to them to your computer so they can charge it.
When was the last time that you were on the podcast, Bill? It's been a while, hasn't it?
It was about 6 months ago.
Yeah, 49, I think.
Did we ask you what your first Mac was?
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the Performa 405.
Or oh, that's right.
LC2.
That's right. Because I had him beat because I had the 410. That's five better.
Yeah, you had the software package upgrade.
Okay, so what was your favorite Mac of all time?
Oh, wow.
Excluding the one sitting in front of you.
Excluding the one sitting in front of me. You know, I think I'd still have to go with the original clamshell iBook. I just from the standpoint of someone who spends way too much time typing and writing, I've never found another laptop that's just so comfortable for where your hands go on it.
I pointed to Chad to say, okay, it's your turn to fill in and ask him a question. And Chad went, hell, I ain't got nothing.
I thought, wow, if I silenced him with that one. I...
Wow, that was deep, Bill.
Oh, I know. Good.
Yeah.
That wow. Sure was a pretty laptop, too.
I think, what were you expecting me to say? The Flower Power iMac was my favorite?
You know,
that's the hidden truth.
You know, the thing is, those older iMacs are still in use by a lot of people. I'm amazed sometimes by the people that I will go help consulting, and they have an older iMac, a G3 iMac, and that they're still purring right along. I mean, they're not going to run Tiger, at least not well, mm-hmm. but, you know, they've still got Mac 9.22 on there, and it's just puttering right along.
Yep.
It's I think it's a testament to the longevity of the Macintosh, how long you can really keep one going.
It's a catch-22 for Apple, too. I mean, my sister has a G3 iMac, just like you said, and, you know, I'm over there, and I'll be using it. I'm like, how can you use this thing? It's like 12 times slower than what I'm used to. And I said, why don't you buy a new one? She says, why? It does what I need. You know, she's got iPhoto on there, obviously real slow and everything. But
if you don't know any better, a slow computer isn't a slow computer, is it?
No, and the whole thing's kind of it kind of hurts Apple because a lot of times people end up comparing like an 8-year-old Mac to a brand new PC.
Yeah.
They don't realize that the Mac is changed. Well, this is a Mac. It says iMac. It must be new, you know. It's sometimes not a fair comparison.
Yeah. Okay, here's an off-the-wall question that I don't think I've ever asked a guest before.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I'm the guinea pig. Right?
You're the guinea pig. You've got all that electronic equipment sitting there around you, right?
Uh-huh.
You can take one thing and go 10 years back in time. What is the one thing you take with you? And I'm not saying you can't change the future. No, you can take whatever you want, go back in time, and completely change history. Take something with you.
Oh, you mean for everyone?
And meet Steve Jobs and say, hey, look at this. What is the one thing you take with you?
I think if I was being selfish, I'd take the iPod. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we're 5 years into the iPod thing, and I probably spend more time using my iPod than using my Mac even. And 10 years ago, the Mac existed. It wasn't like this, but it was pretty good back then. 10 years ago, you couldn't, you know, if you were carrying around 10 songs with you, that was an achievement.
Or a shiny round thing.
Yeah. Well, CDs were pretty popular even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 10 years ago, there was no MP3, was there? I think MP3 is only about 8 years old. I remember the ability to put a CD into my Macintosh, and the little CD application on the Mac would actually tell you what the name of the CD was. And I thought that was the height of coolness. Oh, wow, yeah. My computer knows what it is. How's it do that? That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Apple CD player.
Yeah, yep, and it would actually check the database online if you were connected, and it knew what it was. Or you could type in the name of the CD. And I thought, it doesn't get any better than that.
You remember Sound Jam?
Yeah, of course. We all still use it pretty much.
Yeah.
Sound Jam became iTunes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
That was...
It's, what's more important, though? Is the iPod more important, or is iTunes more important? I mean, you run the iPod iTunes website. What do you think is more important?
If you'd asked me 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said that's easy, the iPod, because the iTunes was just a method for putting your CDs into the iPod. But these days, it's really running neck and neck. There are a lot more iTunes users than iPod users. These days, you use iTunes, shop for music, and buy it, whereas the iPod is just a playback device. I think as we go into the future, I think iTunes is going to be the iTunes generation, not the iPod generation, which is part of the reason why our name doesn't have the word iPod in it anymore.
I think that's smart.
iTunes, podcasting, video, garage.com, you know, because it really is shifting to an iTunes space.
Well, we're losing our connection because we're starting to get heavy rain here, and sometimes that affects the broadband, so we do have to go, but let's get a last plug in. It's iprong.com. Hello? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and come see us if you're in Southern California. Come see us next weekend, May 19th and 20th at Mathering. We're doing a booth, a DJ party, and there's lots of cool stuff for Mac users, even if you're not an iPod user.
Check out iprong.com for all the information. You can find a link to it at mymac.com for the podcast number 81 show notes, or if you can't, I mean, it's iprong.com. You don't have to go to mymac to go there. Don't you hate it when the news story says something about a website and they go, come to our site to find the link? Yeah, I don't need to go to your site to find the link.
Go.
I hate that.
Yep. Me too.
Thanks for coming on, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods. White earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
You're listening to the Dashboard Minute, heard exclusively right here on the MyMac.com podcast.
Please hang up and try again.
Welcome back to the Dashboard Minute. Did you miss me? Don't bother to answer, since I'm a recorded voice in a recorded podcast that you can listen to whenever you want. So there's a good chance that when you answer, I won't know one way or the other. If you did miss me, that's great, and I should be getting some feedback soon at dbminute@gmail.com. If you didn't miss me, let's not go there. The first widget I've got today is one of those for people that leave their Macs off during the time that Apple has set up for regular maintenance. So if you're one of those people, this would be perfect for you. It's the Maintidget widget, isn't that cute? And it's from Giant Mike and the GiantMike.com website. Just pick which scheduled tasks that you have missed, or if you're lazy, or if you just don't know, select them all. Actually, if you're lazy, the widget will tell you the last time the daily, weekly, and monthly maintenance scheduled tasks were run. Type in your admin password, and the Maintidget widget will remove old logs, junks, and scratch files. It will also rebuild some of the various databases that keep OS X running right, and other necessities at will. Perform these duties whenever the mood strikes you with the Maintidget widget. No internet connectivity is required, and you can find it at apple.com and also at giantmike.com. That's GIANTMIKE.com. Have you ever been curious how long it's been since you were born? Or how much time has passed since some other significant event has happened? Well, good news. Novus Design has created a widget that lets you do just that. It's called the Since When widget. Just type in a date in either the past or the future, and the Just When widget will tell you how many years, days, hours, or minutes have gone by or are still to come. Pretty cool and still sugar-free. No internet connectivity is required for this widget to operate. Find this at the... you can find this widget at novusdesign.net or at Apple's dashboard download site. Is it just me, or have I heard this somewhere before? Can you say another Dashboard Minute is done? I knew you could. If you have a favorite widget you'd like me to talk about, send me email to dbminute@gmail.com. I appreciate the time you take to listen, and I hope you'll do it again next time here on the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
And earlier in the show, we interviewed Bill Palmer. One of the neat things is occasionally what you hear isn't everything that was recorded.
Right.
And one of the things that we recorded here, listen to this.
Shit, are you kidding?
Yeah, see, I love that. I think that's great. And we're just going to use that little clip at different points.
Yeah.
For now on. So when you hear that, that's Bill Palmer. And I'm just going to use that. I think I just love that little audio. I don't know what you'd even call it. It's audio bite.
Yeah, sound bite.
Sound bite. Right. So we're just going to use that occasionally.
Cool.
I think it's funny. speaking of funny, actually, it's not funny. One of the things I want to talk about today is how do you store your content for the future?
Hmm.
You know, a lot of us have been using computers for quite a long time. And as you move ahead with new computers, one of the challenges is bringing your old content onto your new computer. Now, obviously, if you had a G4 and you just bought a new G5 or even an Intel Mac, that's not a problem. You simply hook them up via FireWire and Tiger, and it will just suck all your data right over.
Right.
But what happens if the last computer you were using with all your data on it was a pre-USB G3 computer, the Tower G3s, mm-hmm. the beige ones, the first generation? Or what if it was a PowerMac 9500? Or what if it was one of the clones? How do you get your information off of the older computers onto the newer ones? And you got to remember, back in the day, 10 years ago, nobody was backing up to CD-ROM. Everybody was backing up to
3.5-inch floppies or
zip disks.
Yep.
Exactly. What do you do if there's something on one of those disks that you need? What you don't want to do is wait until you need that and then have to convert it to the new formats that are out there.
Yep.
You're probably not going to have the hardware at your disposal to bring it over. So we're looking at going from a floppy to a zip to a CD to a DVD and to a hard drive, and then in the future to an HD DVD or a Blu-ray disc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of generations that you want to migrate your digital data.
Yep.
So how do you do that? I think that is a potential huge problem, not necessarily right now, but in another 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go back to a computer 20 years old, a format that there's just no way that you can do it? Especially if it's a floppy drive that's a real old floppy drive that won't work in a current floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first ones in the Macintosh won't work on a new one. The 400K disks,
yeah,
those don't work in a modern floppy disk. So what if what if you wrote a book back then, or a term paper or whatever, and you want to go back and get it? How do you get it? That's the question. Mm. And I think that's something that a lot of our listeners are interested in hearing information about. And how are they doing it? So this is a call for anybody listening. If you've got old media, what are your plans on moving it into the next generation of computers? And not just the next generation, but many generations from now. We all have digital cameras,
yep.
right? And JPEG is, that's what everybody's using for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Mac users out there that have a digital camera is probably using iPhoto. Well,
right.
Is iPhoto going to be around in 10 years? Is Apple going to be around in 10 years? Nobody can really answer that. I'm pretty sure Apple will be, but I doubt if iPhoto will be. Something that would have come along that replaces it, right?
Right.
What about old artwork that you did on your Mac Plus back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to look at that, but it's in, I don't know, a program you used way back in the day. You can't open that now if it was in a proprietary format.
Right.
So right now, I think we're at a critical time. If you still have that old Macintosh and you could still access your old data, now is the time to pull all those old files, even stuff that you don't think you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excuse me, stuff that you're thinking, well, I'm never going to need that stuff again. Well, maybe you will need it sometime again. Or maybe after you're gone, somebody after you will need it again.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is, how do you go back and pull that information off? And where do you store it for future use?
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, everybody was using SCSI drives.
Yep.
Nobody uses SCSI drives anymore. You can get a SCSI card for like a G5, and then you can plug it into your new Mac and copy it over to your SATA drive or right. IDE or whatever you have.
Mm-hmm.
So right now is the time, because you're probably not going to be able to find a SCSI card for a Macintosh 10 years from now. Or if you can, it's going to be so expensive, it's going to be cost prohibitive to right. do. So now is the time to start planning for the future. Not just the stuff that you've archived way back in the day, but everything that's in iPhoto right now. Is CD-ROM a good long-term storage solution? I think it probably is for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are most Mac users now, if you have a somewhat modern Macintosh, you have a DVD burner.
Right.
I think it would probably be, for most people, more advantageous to copy their information to a DVD for long-term storage.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going to do that anyways, why make just one copy? I mean, I bought a spindle at Staples of 50 mm-hmm. blank DVDs, and it was like $20. 50. Mm-hmm. Each one holds 4.7 gigabytes of data. I've got a lot of pictures in my iPhoto library,
right.
but I don't have 4.7 gigabytes worth. So I can take all my photos and burn them to a DVD right now.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm starting to do is not just burning one DVD, but burning two.
Right.
One I keep at home, and one I keep off site. In other words, maybe I would give it to you and say, hey, Chad, this is, mm-hmm. you know, archive. Could you hold on to this for me? Obviously, I would have to trust you that you're not going to go through right. and... Although it's just, you know, my digital camera pictures, what right. do you care? It's like, oh yeah, I want to look at, you know, Tim's trip to the zoo a year and a half ago. Whoopee. Right. But if your house burns down, you know, you can replace your computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can replace your TV and your couch and your bed. You can even replace all your clothes. You can even replace your jewelry up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But what people always say they miss is their pictures.
Right.
It's the family heirloom pictures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I had a picture of my mother in her wedding dress, and that was the only picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hanging on that wall for 20 years. It was fading, but it's gone now.
Right.
You want to make digital copies and keep that off-site, not just in case your computer crashes, because that's why you'll have a copy at your house.
Mm-hmm.
If your computer crashes, you lose all your pictures in your iPhoto library, you just go back to the last backup.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your last backup is on a DVD. Maybe it's on an external hard drive, like a mm-hmm. FireWire drive. That's what I do right now. I actually back all my iPhotos up to my Mac Mini right mm-hmm. over the network. It takes a little while. I mean,
yeah.
it's right now I think it's like, I want to say about 3.5 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting up there in size.
Right.
But I just copy the entire iPhoto resources from the G5
mm-hmm.
directly to the Mac Mini. So when I open up iPhoto on the Mac Mini, it just reads that folder.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same pictures that are on the G4 or on
right.
the G5. When I make a change, if I add enough pictures, then I just do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, and I could just incrementally back it up, but I just end up backing up the whole thing again, which I probably shouldn't, but
yeah.
it works easier for me that way. I just drag the whole thing in and it says, it already exists. Do you want to replace it? And I go, yeah, just replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And I make another copy. But I'm also now making a DVD backup of it.
Right.
Right now I'm keeping those DVD backups of my pictures at my mother and father's house.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a computer, so they just throw it in a shelf or in a junk drawer or something and
yeah.
forget about it. And eventually when I've given them 4 or 5... I'll let them throw the old ones away because
mm-hmm.
I don't need those. This
yep.
is the most current. So that's what I think a lot of Mac users and digital photography people, they should really start doing. Backing up what you have right now and going back to your old archives, if you have any old archives, and backing that up. See, I was pretty smart when it came to this. When I first got my Zip Disk, a Zip Disk 100,
mm-hmm.
held 100 megabytes.
Yep.
Oh, it was fantastic. And I had a collection of, at the time, at about 150 floppy disks.
Mm-hmm.
I used a cataloging program back in the day that anytime I backed something up to a floppy disk, it held 1.4 megabytes.
Yep.
I would run this catalog. I wish I could tell you what it was. This was Mac OS 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it would literally read what the directory is on that floppy disk. And I named each floppy disk a number. So if the last one I used was floppy 80, this one would be floppy 81.
Mm-hmm.
I use that because that's we're on podcast 81 now.
Yeah.
So when I was looking for something, I would look in the catalog program for it, and it would tell me, well, this is on floppy 81. I can go right to floppy 81 and put it in. But that was still, that was a pretty large collection of floppy disks. And sure. I had those, you remember the old floppy disk holders where the top opened up?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And those things always got dust on them, mm-hmm. and they just, you'd have to kind of go through it like a card catalog file, clink, yep. clink, 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 and there it is. And hopefully I remember to put it back in the space that it's supposed to go into, because if I didn't, oh, great. What did I do with floppy disk 81? It's not mm-hmm. where it's supposed to be. So then you go through all your floppy disks, and then you remember, oh, yeah, I put it in the drawer. So I was pretty smart in that I bought, like, I think I bought two, and I copied all my floppy disks to two zip disks.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, anytime I had to make a backup, I backed it up to zip disks.
Yep.
I got rid of my floppy disks because I didn't need them. When I got a CDR, a burnable disk.
Mm-hmm.
I think it copied at 2x speed, so it wasn't the fastest thing. But at that point, I had five zip disks full of information. That's only 500 megabytes. Mm-hmm. I could fit all four of my zip disks on one CD-ROM.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, I started backing everything up to CD.
Right.
Now I've got DVD burner capability. I can burn. I can back up how many CDs to one DVD, probably 4 or 5.
Yep.
So the storage medium is getting larger, and I've been progressing as time goes on how I'm archiving my data. I don't think enough people are doing that, and it's going to come back and bite them in the boo-boo eventually. Mm-hmm. Start making backups and start moving to new media and stay current. Even the stuff that I've got email backed up from 1996 in AOL format. I don't know why I'm keeping it, but how much space does that take up on a blank DVD?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
Right.
But I have it just in case. And why not keep it? Mm-hmm. It would be one thing to keep all the old media. It would make no sense for me to still hold on to all the floppies, all the zips, and all the CDs of all that data.
Right.
I don't need all that stuff. Just throw it away. And I got the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Now I make two copies of that, take one to my parents' house, or here, or wherever,
mm-hmm.
a trusted source, and right. I keep one at my house for archiving or backup. There's a difference between backup, by the way, and archiving.
Mm-hmm.
Archiving is stuff that you're probably not going to need, and it's probably not on your computer at the moment.
Right.
But it's archived so that if you do need it, you can go back and get it pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this imaginary fire, and you lose all your family pictures, right?
Right.
What about the pictures that you didn't take with a digital camera? Those are the things that you should be scanning in to your computer now.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of people say, well, yeah, I've got a scanner. You know, I've always meant to go back and scan in my own photos, old ones.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't done it yet. Now is the time to do it. You know, you're hearing me talk about it on the podcast, and a lot of people right now out there is going, you know, that's a good idea. That's something I really should probably do. It doesn't cost you anything to scan.
Mm-hmm.
Scan it in. I'm not even saying open it up in Photoshop and cleaning it up or anything. Scan it in, and when you scan it, make sure it's at least 300 DPI. That's a good, large number.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a high-quality scan. I scan everything at 600 now. Yeah, it's larger,
mm-hmm.
but I can really manipulate that file afterwards
right.
and clean up the picture. I've got some pictures that I scanned at too low of a resolution, 150, that I really can't clean it up that much. Mm-hmm. It just looks like crap no matter what I do.
Right.
So scan it at 300 to 600 DPI. Just dump them in a folder, name them, mm-hmm. so it'd be easier to find in the future, and then just archive it. Yes, mm-hmm. you can drag them into iPhoto and play with them there if you want, but that's not even the most important thing to do right now. It's to get them scanned, make a good digital copy of those photos, and archive them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? Anotech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space of bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with InnoTech, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.innotech.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.innotech.com/mymac. Innotech, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
It's another review you can use that won't make you snooze on the MyMac.com podcast. This week we've got the JBL On Tour Plus from Harman Multimedia. For $100, you get a small black or white compact portable, truly portable speaker system. And along with that, you get a very nice padded carrying case that could use a handle. It does not come with a handle. There is a small printed user's manual that has a couple of typos in it. You can plug it into wall power, or you can run it off 4 AAA batteries, which is what I've been doing. And it does not have a dock connector, so you use the standard mini jack small audio plug that comes with it to connect it to your iPod or any other audio system or portable music player. But the thing that makes the On Tour Plus really a plus is the fact that it has a little slide-in rack mount into which you insert your Sony PlayStation Portable. Are you listening, Tim and Chad? Anyway, if you want, you can play your Sony PlayStation Portable games through a little inserted rack that fits right into the chassis of the JBL On Tour Plus. How does MyMac.com rate this item? Well, it squeaks in at 4 out of 5. It would get a higher rating if the rack for the PlayStation Portable felt a little bit more secure, and if the aforementioned typos and padded case were improved according to our recommendations. But the sound is surprisingly good. It has little tiny buttons for up and down volume control, and when you crank this thing up, it really won't distort under normal listening volume. So you can play your games and or your audio files using the included cable, and then you can pack the thing up, batteries or not, carry it around with you. The sound is very good, it's very robust, and, you know, I guess if I needed to play games in a portable manner, I'd buy this thing in a second. For portable audio, it's darn good. It's worth the price, and as a correction to last week, the JBL On Time is also fairly priced at $250. The more I thought about it, the more I realized that for what you pay for your iPod, you're certainly getting your money's worth in value for the JBL On Time. So for both the JBL On Tour Plus, squeaking in at 4 out of 5, and last week's JBL On Time, MyMac.com is very pleased to be recommending products from Harman Multimedia. Keep listening to the MyMac.com podcast and try not to fall asleep during our reviews you can use that won't make you snooze. John Nemo signing off. Until next time. Bye.
And of course, if you want to find a link, check out MyMac podcast number 81 on mymac.com.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you say it, Tim.
MyMac.com.
And you'll find the link to everything that John was talking about, and
that guy was talking about
earlier in the show. One of the things that we had talked about when we first started recording today was a giveaway, a contest.
Indeed.
And that's what we're going to do now.
And what are we giving away then?
Well, a couple weeks ago, I guess the beginning of April, I did a review of a LiveWire BT backpack from Jan Sports. That's actually not even going to come out until November.
Yeah.
That particular one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really, really dug that backpack. It's comfortable. It seems very well made. I was just very, very impressed. And that's putting aside the fact that you can actually put your iPod in the backpack, zip it up, and it can control your iPod through a control panel on the shoulder straps, which is just awesome.
Cool.
And your headphones can plug right into the shoulder strap as well. It's just... It's really cool technology. And a backpack is something that everybody that has a mobile computer definitely wants. They work much better than the little briefcase type of lugging your computer around. Right. That's what I used for a long time. They had a shoulder strap, and I'd carry it, and it'd be banging against my knee. And those suck. They really do. I really like this JanSport bag. So I emailed them after the review a couple weeks later, and I said, you know, we have this contest on the MyMac.com podcast, and we'd really like to give one of your bags away. I know this one isn't going to be available, but you guys have just a bunch of really cool backpacks that, you know, work with the iPod and will carry your laptop. And, you know, our listeners is the demographic you want to reach.
Right.
How about giving one away on the podcast? And JanSports thankfully agreed.
Excellent.
Of course, it would really suck if they didn't. Now we had this big build-up, and we go, but they said no.
So exactly what are we giving away then?
We're going to give away, let me see, it's called the LiveWire Audio. The audio with LiveWire connectivity to the iPod has a durable foam-molded main compartment to keep content safe. Air Core dual density foam straps are strong enough yet comfortable on the shoulders, and a mesh padded back panel allows for ventilation while carrying the backpack. Obviously, I'm reading PR.
So then what is the LiveWire?
Well, you're going to ask. I'm going to let you read the PR copy because it describes it better than I can.
LiveWire enables users to listen to an iPod with an integrated remote control and a cord management system. JanSport Backpacks offers three different LiveWire options: LiveWire, LiveWire Plus, and LiveWire BT. Measuring only 3 inches long and 1 inch wide, JanSport's 5-button keypad is integrated into the right strap and allows for all iPod controls, including volume, forward, reverse, pause, and play. JanSport's exclusive power-off function extends the battery life, while similar devices in the market can only pause music, which can drain the battery power.
It's, you know, I've got a LiveWire JanSport that I haven't sent back. It's the review one that I haven't sent it back yet. I keep forgetting. I gotta stop forgetting to send this back. I know they're going, Tim, where's you have the LiveWire BT that has Bluetooth built in and everything. We need that back. And I keep going, I just keep forgetting.
Yeah.
Sure. Are you kidding?
Thanks, Bill. I just keep forgetting to do it. But, you know, I will. I'll get it sent back to him. But in the meantime, we're going to give one away.
Right.
And this is $150 value.
Nice.
You know what? This is a fantastic backpack. You guys are really going to like it. The LiveWire Audio is what it's called. You can go up to their site and take a look. Or check out the show notes. It's not going to be on the main page. You got to click show notes for show 81. And you'll actually see a picture of the backpack that you could win. It's not difficult to enter the contest, is it, Chad?
Nope. All you have to do is send us send us in the subject line backpack.
How about say, let's send them an email first.
Send us an email. Yes. And in the subject
line, you have to use carrier pigeons this time, damn it. This is a cool prize. Email's too easy. Carrier pigeons. If you know you can't find a carrier pigeons, we don't care. You have to have a carrier pigeon. No, send us an email, yeah.
With backpack in the subject line to contest@mymac.com.
In the body of the message, you have to put your name, your address, because, I mean, we can't email this backpack to you.
Right.
And most important, we want your phone number. And the reason we want your phone number
is so we can call you up.
That's right. And hopefully you'll be home when you know.
We call, yeah.
We will be recording the next podcast between 6 and 8 p.m., next Wednesday, let's see, that will be the 17th, and we've got a pretty cool guest maybe coming on the 17th. This contest, however, will end midnight on Tuesday, May 16th.
Yep.
So if you send a contest entry after that, you're SOL, you can't win. This is, I think this is a really cool prize, and we love giving stuff away more than... We love giving stuff away. We love talking to other Mac users. One of the things that we've been asking Mac users lately, especially the ones that we interview last week, Bruce G from G3.com. This week we asked Bill Palmer. I said Bill Perry. Chad Perry is sitting next to me. His brother is Bill Perry.
Yep.
What does it mean to be a Mac user?
We've got a couple responses of that, and we're putting that out for you guys once again. You don't have to send an email. All you have to do is pick up a phone and leave a message.
Yep, and you can call us at 1-801-938-5559 and leave us a message.
If that's too much trouble, you can send an email, and Chad and I will read them during show 100. That's when we're going to play all of our responses and hear what other people think. This is show 81. Next week is show 82, and we do have a guest lined up.
Yep.
This is a guest that had been scheduled once before, didn't work out. He's rescheduled. Well, we've rescheduled with him, and he's agreed, and his name is...
John C. Dvorak.
John C. Dvorak is scheduled to be on the show 1 week from today. A lot of people are, oh, you guys are going to tear John up. No, we're not. I listen to Twit this week in tech, and I watch his
Cranky Geeks
video podcast. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I actually agree with most of the things that John says, which is really hard for me to say because back in the day, I hated the guy.
Yeah,
well, I didn't hate the guy. I hated his opinions because he always seemed to be dissing Apple.
Right,
but I think it's on purpose. He dissed Apple just to tick off Mac users.
Probably.
I do that. I did it on this podcast.
Yeah.
In fact, I tried to take a lot of people off. It's fun. Getting a rise out of people is great. I wish Rodney Alain was still alive because he would have been so good on this podcast, I swear. But that's neither here nor there. Hopefully John Dvorak won't have a conflict in his schedule, and we will talk to him next week. Hey, if you guys got some questions you guys would like to answer John directly, you can call us, leave that feedback on the phone number, and we will play it during the show and have John respond to it. What's that phone number again?
1-801-938-5559, or you can send us an email.
And send that to tim@mymac.com is the easiest one. Mm-hmm. That is our show for the beginning of May. Boy, it's May already.
'Tis indeed.
We will see you guys next week. Don't forget to enter the contest. If you've won, hey, you're still eligible. You know, one of our contest winners contacted me today. Hadn't got their prize yet.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, what the heck? So I sent the company who provided it an email and saying, could you let me know what the deal is with this? She won. She hasn't got her prize yet. What's going on? So I don't think we're going to have that problem with JanSport. They're really, really cool company.
Good.
This is a cool prize. So make sure you enter the contest. Leave us some feedback. We love feedback, and we'll see you guys next week.
Are you kidding?
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.